Lord. Welcome to Manifest Church. We're glad that you're here with us. Those of you watching on the stream, happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers out there. We're so thankful for you, especially the woman of this house, my wife, Judy. I'm so thankful for her, and I'm blessed to have her as my wife and also the mother of my children. As I've said in a post, she's been an excellent mother to them, and I'm sure many of you have been the same, your children and husbands can say the same of you. And so we just want to bless you on this day that we remember our mothers. We love you. And my mother, Delma Martinez, God bless you. I love you. And hope you have a wonderful day. And with my brothers and them down there in Florida. So let's get ready. Today we're going to do a little different. We're going to take a break from the book of Daniel. And we're going to go and I want to talk about the lessons from our mothers. This the topic of my message today is lessons from our mothers. And as we get ready to do that, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble, please hit the subscribe button and notification bell so you can continue to get messages from us. And feel free to share any messages you want to friends and family so they can be encouraged and edified in the Lord. And also, thank you all for what you do. Those who listen on the podcast at whatever platform you are, you can do the same. And listen, if you have something to say about what was preached, please put your comments there. We'll respond to those as we can. And so just let us know how it ministered to you, and we can have a good chat that way. Let's pray as we get ready to start this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for this awesome time to be together as a body of believers right here. Lord, you're not concerned about the size. You're concerned about our hearts. And you said, Lord, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before those who are here in this home and those who will watch later or watching now. Lord, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will captivate their hearts and minds, that as the Word of God is presented, Lord, that your Word will cut to the heart. It would cause those who may not know you to come to know you, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are Christians to be edified, for mothers today to be edified by this message that I believe is going to encourage them to continue to play their roles as mothers and to do what's needed to raise up a generation that of young men and women who love you and are committed to you, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move in our midst. I ask you, Lord, to empower me now to minister your word. I can't do it without you. I need the power of the and presence of the Holy Spirit to help me as I minister today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're taking a break, like I said, from the book of Daniel. We're going to just be, our main text today is going to be Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And and we're going to be looking at verse 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and get there so when we get ready to read this scripture, we can go on through that. So the message and the message today is lessons from our mothers. You know, in an ultra-feminist world that we are living in today, motherhood has been frowned upon and at times outright rejected. I don't know if you're aware of that. There are extreme folks in our world, and they're not little. This is a good-sized group. I mean, it's not the majority, but it's a good size of people that grow up in academia who have frowned upon motherhood, who have frowned upon being a mother all right together and all right rejected. And they're the extreme fringes of our society. And yet, the reason I mention this is because unless you understand what is happening and that your eyes are at least open. And I believe those especially here have been around me long enough, your eyes are pretty much open to some of these things. But maybe you're watching for the first time, maybe the first time you hear this, that there are people that really believe motherhood is frowned upon. It's like they believe things like this. I'm sure you've heard this before. These extremists, they believe that motherhood is a white supremacy. Have you ever heard of that one? They believe that as far as it goes, they go as far as to say that motherhood is slavery, that being a mother, you're a slave, that you're enslaved to being a man making you have a child. I mean, crazy things like this. This is what's being said out there. And we live in a society right now that if we're not careful, if the majority of men and women in our society don't stand up to this, it will continue to grow and fester in our society. And you all know when gangrene sets in, it spreads. And if you don't deal with it immediately, if you don't cut that area, if you don't deal with the part where it's at, then guess what happens? It spreads to the whole body and it'll kill you. And therefore, we have to be mindful of that, that if we're not understanding what is happening in our times, the things that are being said, the things that people are talking about in our time, that we're not able as young men and women or older men and women to be able to say, no, that's not right. According to God's word, that's not what God says about motherhood or fatherhood. Okay, so these extreme views are out there. Matter of fact, it's so extreme that those who support transsexuals who want to are those who want us to call mothers now birthing persons or birthing people. This is how bad it's become, that because they don't want to offend the transsexual, they want you to call mothers now birthing persons, birthing people. This is very demonic in nature, even though to them it seems very wise, but it's really a doctrine of demons where we can't call a mother, because we don't want to offend a person who wants to transition from a woman to a man. Let me give you the definition of this birthing people, kind of what a working definition of it. And it says currently, and this comes from the Thomas More Society. It's a website that had a definition concerning this. Was in one of the articles. And it says here, currently the phrase birthing people has been suggested to replace the name of for mothers. This is a name change suggestion to allow women who have taken surgical or psychological steps to deny their chromosomal female identity and to take on a male or binary or non-binary identity and not be referred to as mother. And so again, these are terms not because we need to do better with our what we need to say. No, it's actually trying to change God's perspective of what a woman is. A mother, when she has a child, she's a mother. She's not a birthing person. It removes any kind of dignity with that. It's like, it's just a piece of, almost like a robot that they were made. I mean, if you ever watched The Matrix, and Neo was, when he got, took the red pill and he was awakened, he was in this robot thing that was like a embryo, mother's embryo, and he was in there kind of just doing that. And that's kind of what they want to reduce people to just pieces of meat that could be used and thrown and discarded. It takes away from the human dignity that God has given each one of you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you are the highest form of God's creation. You were created in the image of God. Women were created in the image of God. Men were created in the image of God. We're not just organism that are walking around here. We are image bearers of the living God. And so when they do these things, you need to understand that is Satan's way to desensitize and to demoralize what a person really is an image bearer. We bear the imago Dei of God. And so we got to be careful. Okay, my sermon today isn't all that, but I want you to understand some of the things that are going on. So why is important for us to understand that we need mothers and we need the lessons that our mothers want to give us as young men, as young women. There are lessons our mothers give us that we need. And ultimately, we know this, that parents, fathers and mothers are to instruct children in the fear of the Lord. They're to instruct children on a way to live. But today I want to focus on the role of the mother and her what she can do to help the father as well raise godly, God-fearing children. And so, again, my reason for saying these things that I was talking about was not to make you angry, but to help you understand and point a point of Satan's attack on our society. He's attacking the family because the first institution that God made in the world was a relationship between a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. And what did he tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. the family was instituted by God, and therefore Satan hates the family. This is why Satan wants men with men and women with women, because a woman and a woman cannot have children. A man and a man cannot have children. I'm sorry, it will not happen. If you take all the men that want to be together and have same-sex kind of relations, and you take every man that you can and put them on an island, eventually they will die off. If you take all the women who said, I don't need a man, and I want to be a man, and I want to be all this, you take all those women and you stick them in an island, and they're all together, there's no men there, eventually they're going to die off as well. Because that is against creative order. God instituted that marriage should be between one man and one woman in order to be fruitful and multiply the earth. You see, Satan is about depopulation. Satan doesn't want the world to be populated. He wants you to be gone because you remind him of God. Woo, isn't that great? You are an image bearer. You remind him of God, and he hates you and he hates me and he wants us gone. And he uses all these phony pseudoscientists out there to say, oh, that we're going to kill off the earth. Believe me, no one is destroying this earth but God. Not a human being, not a war, not a thing. God is going to destroy the earth, not man. And that day will come. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that God is going to destroy the earth by fire. See, he destroyed man once through the flood, through the great deluge, the great flood of the earth. But the second destruction of the earth will be with fire. And that is God's judgment on the earth. It isn't going to be a man that I did this and man, we're so important that we can destroy it. No. Yeah, we will do evil. Men do evil things, but we're not God and we cannot destroy this earth without God is the only one that can do it. And he will be the one that does it. So I want you to see with me there in Proverbs 1:18. So again, I say all these things so you have an understanding, so you can discern the times in which you live. And when the lie comes, you're able to discern that that is a lie because you're hearing it from God's word. You know what God says concerning what a mother is. You know what God says concerning what a father is, what a man is, what a woman is. You begin to understand it, and then you can discern, hey, that doesn't make sense. That's not what God says. You are a mere mortal trying to tell me what a man should be? No, thanks. I think I'll listen to the one that made heaven and earth and everything in it. I think I'll take his wisdom over yours. That's the way it should be. But man, in their pride, they don't want God. They will exchange the truth, as Romans 1 says. They exchange the truth about God for a lie and therefore become insane, basically. The Bible says God turns you over to a reprobate mind. Proverbs 1:8 says this. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Again, this is Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendants for your neck. Here we see just a picture of the family and the importance of a mother and a father in the life of their children. How many of you know the great commandment, one of the commandments that children we like to forget, is honor your father and your mother? Do you know that God is the one who elevated the woman in the household? Do you know that other religions and the worlds outside of God, they didn't elevate women in this way, that they were to be honored and respected when instructing their children? Other societies only saw the man to be that. Matter of fact, the Romans were so bad that basically the men were the only ones that had any kind of say in certain things. And they would use women just like a piece of cloth. And they would use children like a piece of cloth. But not in God's kingdom. God's kingdom shows how each one of us have value. The father, the mother have value. The children have value. God has a creative order and how things are to be done in the home. But we as men, when we get away from God, we begin to do things on our own and we mess everything up. We make everything look crazy. We as human beings, we do this. So I like this. A mother's role is instructing her children. I like this, how the Solomon writes here in the proverb that a mother, she's her role in instructing her children, She She's a nurturer, right? Mothers are nurturers by nature. God had made them in a way that they are nurturers. And as a result of that, they take more of a gentle approach in teaching their children, and that is needed. They have a more gentle approach when they're teaching you. A father is not. A father's made rough and tough, and a father is made to bring discipline and to bring correction quickly and to protect and to do those things. That's how God made man. It doesn't mean that as a father I can't be gentle sometimes with my son, of course. But the point is, by nature, God made us to be this way, and those opposites attract, and those opposites complement one another. My wife compliments me as I'm raising our children. I have a more strict approach. My children know, hey, when my dad says something, he means it, because there will be some action with it. Doesn't mean my wife wouldn't do that, but it takes her a lot longer than me to get to that point. And so mothers, as a result of that, the makeup that God had given them, their approach is to be more gentle in their teaching of their children and their upbringing of their children. They want to nurture them. They want them to experience the love and acceptance and all those things. And so that's a beautiful thing that God has given our mothers. And how many of you know, if you've had a relationship with your mother, you know that your mothers care for you. And you might say, well, I don't know about that too much. Maybe you don't know who your mom was, or maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your mother. But there are other women who have been like a mother to you, who have cared and loved you and have shown that to your life, that you can say, you know what, I can see. I mean, it wasn't perfect, because no one is perfect. Who's perfect? You're not perfect. So if you're to judge someone else, what about you? I mean, what kind of person are you, right? And so we have to show each other that grace and that mercy as well. But also we know that there are other people that can step up in our lives and be that mother, father figure. And so we can see the care and the handle that moms do. And again, this doesn't mean that moms, because some of you were raised by single mothers, and some single mothers, man, they're stricter than me. They're stricter than some fathers, because they have to be. Sometimes they got to play both roles, and sometimes they can do it this way, but they can get really tough with you too. And that happens. And I have no friends and people that way that I know have shared that with me, that their mama didn't play. You know, they knew, hey, man, mom's about to tear my behind up if I don't do what I'm supposed to, or my grandmother, whatever. They knew. There were moments but, you know, mothers, it's not that they can't discipline when needed, but usually that's not how they prefer to handle situations. They don't prefer to do that. On the other hand, it's not that a father prefers it, but that's the way we handle problems too. We put an end to it. We're not playing. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I've said what I had to say, and now I'm going to come at you. And those are where fathers do. Fathers are more, hey, I'm why? Because we were built to combat. We were built to protect. We were built to say, to fix things and get things to happen. And sometimes that's good and needed. And sometimes we have to kind of dial that back too as fathers, so that we can not exasperate our children either. The Bible commands us not to do that either. So mothers have a way that they able to instruct the children, and it's needed today. I mean, think about the kids out there, how much they need a mother's instruction and the lessons they can get from their mothers. Young women who need these lessons from their mothers is so important. Mothers have a way of getting the lesson across with honey to their children. You know, it's, you know, you deal with your kids in a more, like in a more easy way, right? But a father's not. A father's more, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I need. And it's not with honey. It's like command, and this is what I need done. Now, I mean, I'm not saying every father's like that, but I think most of us are that way. And but our wives are not. They're more easygoing. They try to do it with honey in the way that they come across. You know, it's everything tastes better with honey, right? you eat some bitter tea, you put a little honey in it, it helps it sweeten it up for you to take it in. Same concept, right? So we see that from our mothers, how they love us, and they of course a mother loves you unconditionally, is always there for you. That's important. God's word calls not only for fathers to be honored, but also mothers. And we can see this in the commandment, right? Children, honor your father and mother. As I stated earlier, God's word commands children not just to honor dad, but to honor mom, to honor your father and your mother. And guess what? That commandment is the only one with a promise of a longer life. Do you know that when you as a young child obey your mom and obey your parents, you will live a longer life? Because you're learning valuable lessons from your parents. Valuable lessons, you will live a longer life. That's a promise. Go look it up in Exodus. You'll find it. I want to end with this today. I'm going to finish this last point here. It's going to take me a minute, but we're going to finish with this last point. I want us to look at examples of a mother's lessons. And we're going to go now, we're staying in Proverbs. I want you to go to Proverbs 31. This is a well-known passage by women because it's known as, they love this. I mean, my wife is, when she read this, it was like, I remember when we were young Christians that she was like, wow, what a great example here of a woman of God, you know, who fears the Lord and the beautiful things. And of course, we all have read this together, men and women, looking at it and going, wow, this is a powerful passage because there are lessons to be learned here. But I want you to see how this begins. Proverbs chapter 31, and I want us to look in the first couple verses there in verse 1. And we're gonna continue. I'll stop at verse 9. Okay, so we're gonna do 1 through 9 right now. I want you to see this real quick. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not good. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Wow. In just these few verses, we are going to see a lessons this mother gave. If you notice there in verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel. So this is King Lemuel's words. But I want you to see who he gave credit of this oracle. This oracle was given by his mother. She taught him this. What a powerful moment. A mother teaching her son. And of course, obviously, if she's teaching her son, she's going to teach her daughters as well. But right now, I just want you to see how important a mother's lessons are here. Not necessarily just only for men, but I want you to see how she is teaching her son, who's a king, how he should be and how he should live. The first lesson I want us to look here is going to be found there in verse 3. And it says, verse 3 says, "Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings." So the first lesson that this mother gives her son is lessons on the dangers of sexual and moral behavior. And can we say not only is she giving this lesson to her son, but her daughter as well. She had a daughter. Women aren't exempt from being sexually immoral. There are a lot of sexually immoral women. I mean, if you just scroll through Facebook, you'll find that, or Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want to go. Twitter, I mean, you could find that. You could find men doing the same thing. I mean, it is for children to understand this. But in this case, she's speaking to him as a king, and she's talking to him, and she teaches him lessons about sexual moral behavior. And I don't know about you, but hopefully if you had a good mom and a good dad, they told you not to be sexually immoral. And I want to explain to you why this woman would have said this, because that is God's word. God does not want us to be sexually immoral people. You know that God made sex, young people, And he made it, and it was wonderful, and he's made it for marriage. Sex is to be done between a husband and a wife. And guess what? You can enjoy sex with your husband and wife as much as you want, and there's no problem, and God is okay with it because he made it for that. Where the problem comes in is when you want to have sex with somebody who is not your spouse, who is not your wife, and you, or your husband, that you want to go and be sexual with someone who you are not married to. The Bible is clear on this, that that is sexual moral behavior. And you know the dangers of it? That it will destroy your life. Because we all know this, the wages of sin is death. And maybe in your life you've had sexual moral behavior and you go, I'm looking at this proverb and I think that was pretty right, because there I've made some with a person, I made some choices, I made some bad moves, and look at what's happened, look at the things I've gone through, and all that happens in our lives. I mean, come on, who hasn't been there? Now I hope my children, but I don't know. I'm not with them every moment of the day. I'm not the fly in the wall. I don't know what you're doing. God does. God knows what we're doing. God knows what we should be doing, what we should not be doing. And so we want to be careful. We want to understand what God's word says. We want to be careful how we engage. And she says to him, hey, sexual moral behavior with women is not a wise thing for you, king. And if given to it, it will eventually destroy you. And we see this clearly in Scripture. I want you to know that King David, you remember King David, a man after God's own heart? The Bible says King David had a sexual moral problem. He had a problem with his sex drive. He had a problem. He was supposed to be at war, and you can go find this in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Read the whole account. It's going to encourage you. It's going to edify you. It's going to warn you of how sexual moral behavior can cause you to break every law of God, can cause you to turn away from God in such a way that just wrecks your life. And so King David, what was he doing? The Bible says when kings are supposed to be off at war, King David was at home. And King David's hanging out in his palace, hanging out, enjoying in his luxury living, you know. And he gets up to stretch and he goes out in the balcony of his palace. And he looks and wow, he looks and what a woman is bathing there. And his eyes get probably this big. And her name was Bathsheba. And we know the story. Bathsheba, David called Bathsheba to come, and he wined and dined her, and they laid together, and they had sex with each other. And now she's pregnant by King David. And King David now has to cover this up. He calls her husband, Uriah, from war to come, and tries to get him drunk so he can lay with his wife so that he would think that's his baby and not the king's baby. But because this man was so righteous, this man was, he could not bear to do this with his wife while his men were fighting in a war. He was acting like a king. He was acting like a king, not King David, but Uriah was acting in a way that was right and righteous before God. He could have enjoyed his wife. That's illegal, right? That's his wife. God would not, there was no problem there. But because he was a man of integrity, he was like, I can't do this knowing that my brothers are out there fighting and I'm over here enjoying my wife and they don't get to do the same. I got to go back. King David, let me go. I got to go back to war. But that's not what King David did. He obviously kept trying to get him drunk. And finally, when he wouldn't do it, he wrote a letter and said, hey, bring Uriah up to the front lines of the war, and I want you to withdraw the men and let them die in the battle. And King David, because of this, suffered greatly. Because he did this, the Bible says the sword never left his house. And because of this, he lost a child, that child that they had. God took that child from them. I mean, you want to talk about judgment? You want to talk about God dealing with a person and the destruction that comes with it? And yet God still loved David and kept his promise to David that he will always have a son on the throne, and ultimately Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who's not going to sin. He is going to reign and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He's going to come back. But my point is there in 2 Samuel, you see this king, because he couldn't control his sexual urges with women, went and messed up. How about King Solomon? Anybody remember King Solomon? I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. I want you to see King Solomon. Let's look at his issues with women. First Kings chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. That's where we're going to be. I want you to see, again, lessons from a mother to warning her son, don't give in to sexual immoral behavior because it can destroy your life. She is saying this to her son. And boy, do we need mothers to say the same right now. How many young men are going out there and having sex with women, impregnating them and leaving them to dry and not taking responsibility for their actions? They need moms to teach them lessons not to do that. And obviously fathers, but today I'm focusing on mothers. Your important role that you play in that. And so obviously a father plays a major role in that. But unfortunately in our society, many young men are growing up without fathers. And so it's up to the mom to teach these lessons right now to the child, to the young man. All right, let's go over there and look here. It says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Did you hear that? King Solomon loved many foreign women. This man was a player. Along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. So Solomon couldn't control himself with his sexual passions, and so now he is messing not just with women of Israel, but he's going to foreign women, which the Bible was clear. He told them not to do this. This had nothing to do with color of skin. This had to do with the fact that these women worshiped other gods. It was dealing with don't intermarry with someone from another religion. Why? Because it will turn your heart away from the living God to these false gods, and they would begin to worship that. And David disobeyed God, and as a result, now he has all this, Solomon disobeys God, and now watch what happens. He says, he has said he had 700 wives. Can you imagine, men, 700 wives? I can't keep up with one. You talking about 700? He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Man, the dangers of sexual immoral behavior. This man was with 1,000 women, dude. 700, 300, put it together. And probably more, but the 1,000 that we can have record of him having a marriage with and then taking care of as concubines who had children by him. This man had problems. And guess what? He's not the only man with those kind of problems. We have men like that today who have issues with the lust in their heart, the sexual moral behavior. And so we see this happening. So she taught him the lesson that day. This is destructive. And if you're a young man, a young woman today, listen to the lessons of this mother, of your mother. Don't live this kind of life. It's going to destroy you. Ultimately, the Bible says no sexual moral person will inherit the kingdom of God. That if that is your way of life, that you are a sexual moral person, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's not what your mother wants for you. That's not what your father wants for you. We want to see our children in heaven with the Lord. We want to see our children who love and fear God. We want to see our children in a relationship with a spouse that they can grow up and multiply and have a family just like we did. We want that for our children. We don't want to see our children alone. Unless that's a gift that God has given them to be alone, and that's okay. And they're giving their self to serve the Lord. It's not just to be alone so you can make all the money you want and do all the... No, no, no. It's alone because, hey, you know what? I want to serve Jesus with everything I got. I don't have time to get tied down in a marriage. I want to do... I want to go here and I want to bring the gospel there. You know, Paul was like that. He's like, look, I wish all of y'all were like me, but you know, not everybody can handle not being married. So you don't burn with your lust, get married so that you don't sin against God and your body. So there can be moments like that. So what's another lesson we learned? Oh man, this is a good lesson to learn. Go back with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Go back there with me. How are we doing on time? Good. Looking good. Looking good. All right. So another lesson that we see is a lesson on addiction to alcohol. Go with me there and look what it says there in the next few verses, verses 4 through 7. Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. You see, her lesson to her son was you got to be careful with addictions. And I would say today we got to be careful with all types of addictions. Addictions to, we've already dealt with sexual moral, but we're going to talk about alcoholic addiction. We want to be careful with drug addiction today. All of those things, lessons from this mother saying, these things will cloud your judgment. These things will cause you not to know the way of the Lord, right? Not to walk in God's way like you should. You're not going to know how to discern right from wrong because these things are what you're pursuing. You need to be careful because alcohol can't, if you become addicted and a drunkard, you're not going to be any good. How many mothers today have tried to talk to children, their sons and daughters, concerning the dangers of being addicted to alcohol, drugs, and how many of them suffering for their children, praying for them to repent, to turn away from it, to be set free from their addiction to alcohol, for their addiction to these things. How many mothers and fathers crying out for their children? Because it can destroy your life. And you know what the Bible says? That drunkards will not be found in the kingdom of heaven. So not only does it destroy your life here on earth, but it will put you in the lake of fire for all eternity. So the dangers of becoming a drunkard, you got to be careful. Because those things will destroy your life. She gave a valuable lesson. And man, when we look at today, I mean, how many children, how many parents today are suffering with opioids and how people are dying. I was watching on YouTube one time, this place out in Philadelphia or something. It was like some kind of like zombie, a mile zombie long. And what that meant were people were just kind of like doing drugs right there in the middle of the street. And they look zombie-ish because they're addicted to this. And instead of people trying to help them, they're saying, no, this is just do it like that and it's fine. We'll make sure they have clean needles. We'll make sure they have this. Rather than trying to help them get clean, that's not what they're doing. And mothers and fathers who have lost their children to these things that are pouring into our country. All of us, regardless of our politics, all of us know that addiction to drugs is dangerous. And it has long consequences. It's not just our children who are hurt by it. We're hurt by it as parents. We suffer because we see them suffering. And so God is the great equalizer. God is saying, get away from these addictions. Turn away from them. Turn to me. I'm all that you need. Let's move on. Another lesson she gives them. She gives them a lesson concerning to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. She teaches them, hey, as a king, you need to be just. You need to be righteous. You need to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Isn't that awesome? That God's word is already telling people, you and me, that we're to step up and be people who speak up for those who can't be spoken up for. Look at verses 8 and 9. I want you to see this with me. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. It says, open your mouth for the mute. What's a mute person? They can't speak. Open your mouth for the people that cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Man, isn't this awesome? Being a godly woman, she's teaching her son the importance of justice and to be a voice for those who do not have a voice. But being a godly woman, she would not teach. Being a godly woman, she would teach her son who God considers voiceless or oppressed. See, she's not going to talk to him about what we see in this world, this framework that now we have that's actually been destroying and dividing our country from within, this critical race theory, this critical theory, social justice, all of these things that have come in by man's design in order to bring about a destruction of a society. It's a lie, and it's been put in front of people in order to bring us down. And what's happened is the American people that sent off their children not knowing what happened to my son or my daughter. I send them to school and all of a sudden they become these crazy people. They don't listen to me. They think that I'm old fashioned or that somehow I don't know what just is. I don't understand what right and wrong is because I know what God says. What are you telling me? And this is what happens. But as a mother is going to teach her son and her daughter how to be just people. You see, God cares about justice. Did you know that? That God cares about justice. But God has justice not like this world. Psalm 82:3 says, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Do you see that God, when he talks about justice, he's not talking about the color of somebody's skin, their ethnicity, or their background, what group, people group they represent. God is justice is about, hey, protect those who are weak, protect those who are fatherless, protect those who are afflicted, and protect those who are destitute. Guess what? A white person can be weak. A white person can be destitute. A black person can be weak. A black person can be destitute, poor and needy. An Hispanic can be this. An Hispanic can be that. It doesn't matter what they are. The Bible says, take up for them. God's word is clear. But see, in this new critical race theory, now it's, hey, listen, the only people that are oppressed are people of color, which that sounds racist to me. Okay? Hispanics, women, the LGBTQ, those are the world's definition of oppressed. Interesting how they put you in groups and categories and create a whole class of people. God doesn't do that. God wants equal weights, equal justice under the law. It doesn't matter what you are. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you're poor and you're wrong, you're poor and you're wrong. And if you're rich and you're wrong, you're rich and you're wrong. It doesn't matter to God. That's God's justice. Man's justice is whoever has the power gets to determine what's just. No, God determines what's just, not man. Look at this. Leviticus 19, verse 15 says, You shall not do injustice in court. You should not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. Wasn't that awesome? That God is saying, listen, don't be impartial in your judgment. Don't do it, that's a poor person and not just, you know, they don't know any better. That's not the way. No, if they did wrong, they're wrong. And don't be, they got all this money and I don't want, all this money. I don't want to put this person in jail. They're an athlete. They're just a famous person. We can't put them in jail, obviously. Am I just the only person on this planet that is not seeing this today? That the people who are not going to jail are the people who have the money? They are doing wicked things. They're violating our constitutional rights. They're violating our laws. And they standing outside of prison writing books and telling how what they did, and they're walking around as if, but if you and I did anything merely close to it, we're in jail for the rest of our lives. That's not the kind of justice that God wants. God's justice is to be equally applied to all people, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your background, your money, whatever you have. If you are wrong, you are wrong. That's God's way. God's way is better than man's way. And when man does it, man is corrupt. Corruption. And you know the good news is, it doesn't matter, because one day God is going to bring every wicked person to give an answer for what they've done. God's going to do it. Ultimately, justice will be served. Last thing I want to say, I can't not say this as a pastor. I want to tell you, and I'm a father, but my wife would tell you the same thing as a mother's lesson, speaking for those who can't speak for themselves. We need to speak up for the unborn. We need to be people who speak up for children in the womb. They don't have a voice, and they're killing them. They're killing babies who have no chance to say, please don't kill me, mom. Please don't kill me, dad. They have no voice but ours. That's who we ought to be protecting. You know what? Because that baby could be a future doctor, a future senator, congressman, a future somebody that can bring some good to this world, that God can use to bring some good to this world. And yet, if we allow evil to continue, they will kill them. And we have to stop it. Oh, man, pastor, come on. It's supposed to be Mother's Day. Yeah, it is Mother's Day. But mothers teach these lessons to their children. Hey, speak up for these little ones. Speak up, because no one else is. If we're going to be just, then be just. And don't get caught up with all these things that get you out of what you ought to be doing, so that you're able to look and say, hey, I need to do just by these who are poor and needy, but those who are children, or those we need to protect, these who are afflicted and destitute. We need to be just. And let me finish off here. I want to read you her final lesson to her son is what a real woman looks like. I mean, how many mothers have been trying to teach their son a lesson on what kind of woman is a godly woman? What to look for in a woman that they can one day marry. Hopefully they're looking for the kind of woman their mother has been. You know, if she's been a godly example, and you can look at the wife and the mother that she's been, that's what ought to say, man, that's what I want. I want a woman like that. Look what she says. We'll end with this. In verses 10 through 31, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow or her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bedding covers for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beautiful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I mean, what an awesome lesson about a God-fearing woman. This mother pouring her heart out to her son, and not just her son. If you're a young woman today, listen to the lessons this mother gave. Listen to that. And I just want to thank God for you mothers today who have been instrumental in our lives. And that's why we're where we are today, because of our mothers. And one day, very soon, we're going to talk about dads and their roles coming up. I believe that's next month. So we're going to show how mom and dad are so valuable to our lives, and we need to see that. Let's pray as we get ready to end. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I want to pray today for mothers. I want to pray for them who've been weeping for their children. That, Lord, you hear. You hear their cries. You hear their cry when they're crying out to you in prayer for their child or their children. God, give them strength. Remind them that, Lord, you're working and that they can trust in you, Lord. Lord, I pray for mothers who may come across this and feel discouraged, maybe because they haven't been a mother that like they should be. I pray today that they would hear you say, it's not too late. It's never too late. You're still alive. You can turn it around. You can say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I want to repent of my sin. I want to put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I want you to teach me how to be a mother to my children. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can still be a mother to your children. God can turn things around. Just trust in him. I pray, God, that you'll have your way in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing. Have your way. And Lord, I pray also, God, that you would just help our mothers today who right now are raising children by themselves. God, give them grace in their time of need. Lord, provide for their daily needs, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, if it is for them to have another husband, Lord, I pray you will provide them a godly man who will help them, who will love them as Christ loved the church. Lord, it isn't good for man to be alone. And Lord, contrary to what this world says, where a woman doesn't need a man or a man doesn't need, that's foolishness, Lord. We complement each other. We need each other. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll have your way in each individual person, Lord, that's listening. We love you, and God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.